super soul, the supreme personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, the cause of the cosmic manifestation, appeared in the dynasty of Dadi. Please tell me elaborately about his glorious activities and character from the beginning to the end of his life. In this verse, the words Kritavan Yani indicate that all the different activities Krishna performed while present on earth are beneficial to human society. If religionists, philosophers, and people in general simply hear the activities of Krishna, they will be liberated. We have described several times that there are two kinds of Krishna Katha, represented by Bhagavad Gita, spoken personally by Krishna about himself, and Srimad Bhagavatam, spoken by Shukadeva Goswami about the glories of Krishna. Anyone who becomes even slightly interested in Krishna Katha is liberated. Kirtanadeva Krishnasya Mukta Sangha Parambrajet. Simply by chanting or repeating Krishna Katha, one is liberated from the contamination of Kaliyuga. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore advised, Yare de Katare Kaha Krishna Upadesh. This is the mission of Krishna consciousness, to hear about Krishna, and thus be liberated from material bondage. Om Agyani Vijayasya
Yananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namah
Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahiyam Kadati Swapadantikam Mandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamsya Shri Rupam Sagra Jatam Sagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Kaijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Pada Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakhamritam Cha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagapate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namaste Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishvanuti Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Bhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyayevacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha
Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasati Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama
the small books, Srila Prabhupada's lectures that were published in those early days. Krishna appeared in this world approximately 5,000 years ago in his personal transcendental form of Sri Srinivasa Bhagavananda. He appeared in the London area 39 years ago. Krishna tells in Gita, Janakara Machame Dika. Eva Yoga Dita Pata. Tyapadeha Punaracha Vanaiti Mameti Suraja. The one who understands the transcendental nature of Krishna's appearance and activities when he descends into this world, that person, by Krishna's grace, never gives birth again within this material creation. Krishna says that devotee will attain my abode. In the Gita, Krishna tells the reasons why he descends. Adhidrāna sādhanam vināśaya chatusakritam dharma samstak panādhaya sambhavāmi jukhe jukhe. That the Lord descends to re-establish the principles of religion, to protect the pious, and to annihilate the miscreants. Srila Prabhupada explains that Krishna can perform those activities through the doings of material nature. Mayati Kshira Prakriti Suyate Satchikatana, his controlling nature. Through his empowered devotees, through his expansions. But Krishna especially comes to this world in his original transcendental form, once in a day of Brahma. 12 hours of the daytime of Brahma is over 3 billion years. And then there's the night, actually 4 billion years. So it's about once every 8 billion years that Krishna crystal appears in his original transcendental. And at that time, the Lord appears to all by his brains, especially to perform such beautiful pastimes, to reveal the intimacy of the love between Krishna and his devotees, to reveal his transcendental form in such ways to attract the gods. Krishna is all attractive. Lord Chaitanya has taught us Bhaktisiddha Krishna Prem Satyakapunai Saravanati Sudhichiti Kodiye Udha. That love for Krishna is within the heart of every living being. It is our dormant nature. It has simply been forgotten. And Krishna performs such beautiful pastimes. His birth, his activities, his devotees. And Krishna is non-different than the transcendental sound vibration of these pastimes. Nama Chintamani Krishna's Chaitanya Rasa. Krishna is one and the same with Krishna's name, with Krishna's form, with Krishna's pastimes, with Krishna's teachings. And simply by hearing, we are actually in association with Krishna and the devotees of Krishna. There was a story in 1966 where Srila Prabhupada took the devotees from 26th Avenue to the Anand Ashram. And there, I was giving classes, leading kirtans, and at night, Hayagriva Prabhu, one of the very early disciples of Srila Prabhupada, was sleeping in a field. And he had a dream. And he told Srila Prabhupada the next morning, with great excitement, what this dream was. He said, I saw Krishna speaking Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna in Kurukshetra. And then the dream changed, and I saw you instructing me. And he said, and the realization I got in this dream that there was no difference in the knowledge in you speaking to me and Krishna speaking to Arjuna. And Srila Prabhupada smiled and said, that is correct. Very good dream. Srila Prabhupada didn't say that they were Krishna and Arjuna, but he explained that that message, whenever it is repeated and heard, the same effect is there, because it is transcendental sound vibration. Evam parampara prapta. when this message of Krishna's teachings and Krishna's pastimes are spoken without speculation or adulteration through Parampara, it is Krishna speaking. There was another famous story where Srila Prabhupada was reading the Krishna book, and the devotee asked Srila Prabhupada, "Do you like to read your own books?" And Srila Prabhupada said, "I did not write this Krishna word. It's Krishna's words." So as we advance in Krishna consciousness, this is the experience we have. When we chant the holy names, we feel, we know, we realize that we are directly in the association of Krishna. When we hear Krishna's Bhagavad Gita, or when we hear the beautiful stories of Krishna with his devotees in Srimad Bhagavatam, we realize we are part of the pastime. We are there. We are on the chariot with Arjuna, hearing Krishna speak directly. When we see the beautiful form of Krishna in Sriradhika in the temple, we can realize that this is Krishna and Sriradhika Dharani who have appeared to attract our hearts. Srila Prabhupada explains in this purport how there are two types of Krishna Gita. Those words spoken by Krishna, like the Bhagavad Gita, and those words spoken about Krishna, like that of Shukadeva Goswami and Shriya Bhagavatam. In both cases, we connect with Krishna. The setting of how this narration takes place in Srimad Bhagavatam is most instructive. Similar to Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna, he was in a very serious crisis in his life. It's not that he just, you know, happily went to the Katar and said, "Krishna doesn't speak." On the chariot, Krishna was silent. Arjuna saw on both sides of him friends, relatives. And being the devotee of the Lord, he felt such affection for all of them. There were teachers on both sides who he owed everything he had to. All of a sudden, it was impossible for him to fight. And he began to reason in so many ways why this fight should not happen. And if it does, he would not participate. And then he was struggling. What is my power? And eventually, he was in such distress and confusion in the face of this very, very crucial historical battle. Please try to put yourself in his chariot seat for a moment. He was torn. He was about to use all of his God-given strength to devastate the opposing army. And he felt love for them. The ball fell from his hands. He was weeping. He lost all his composure. He didn't know who he was or what he was supposed to do or what not to do. And then he prayed to Krishna, I'm your disciple. Please instruct me. And then Krishna smiled. And here we find in Srimad Bhagavatam Parikshit Maharaj, he was cursed to die in 7 days. He was the emperor of the entire world with such power. And how humbling this is. It was a little boy, just a tiny little boy, who cursed him. He left his family, his kingdom, his power, his comforts. He vowed to fast till death just to hear about Krishna. Sages and rishis came from all over the world and the universe to be with him because they considered this to be so exalted. And they were discussing among themselves who would speak. Vyasadeva was there. Narayana was there. Each and every one of them powerful, historical, incredible, enlightened beings, Gautama Muni, so many others. Who is going to speak? And many of them were so old, they were from Ram Lila before. Shishtamuni was Ram, the Guru, as was Vishwamitra. And that little 16-year-old Sukadeva Goswami comes into the forest. It's very interesting. But that's another story. Sukadeva Goswami, he was so detached from everything of this world. Although he was enlightened, he pretended to be a fool. He hardly spoke to anyone. He didn't wear clothes. So wherever he went, people ridiculed him. And sometimes even children, foolish children, would laugh at him, would throw things at him, would chastise him, would threaten him. He would just accept it very happily. And he came by Krishna's will from his heart. He came to that place on the bank of the Ganga. And everyone stood up to receive him and offered him the Vyasa Sangha, the place to speak. In the beginning, first canto, second canto, we read how Parikshit Maharaj inquires from Sukadeva Goswami, what is the main, most important occupation for all living beings? There are so many scriptures and so many spiritual teachers and so many religious forms. What is the essence? And what is the primary duty of a person who is about to die? Just outside this tent is the Pandava Sena's presentation this year. What is it called? True Love. And when you go inside, I haven't seen the presentation, I just saw the props that they're using. And you will have a good experience that death could come anyone at any moment. You'll see a man here in England just like any other day enjoying breakfast. And runs off the road and crashes through the house into the kitchen and kills the man. They say that's part of the same. The reality is, things like that happen thousands and thousands of times every day in this world. Padam padam yadvi padam nadesham. This is a world where there is danger at every step for everyone. Whether you're a simple farmer or an industrialist billionaire, whether you're a sadhu living in the forest, or whether you're a PhD professor at a university, whether you're from the east or west, from any race, male, female, devotee, not devotee, the reality is the nature of this world. Is there is danger at every step. And knowing this is a great impetus to serious intention toward Krishna. The Prabhupada tells us that Pariksit Maharaj knew for sure that he had 7 days to live. 7 days isn't that much. Just think about what you did a week ago. It seems like a miracle. That's all he had. But he considered it a blessing to utilize that 7 days for the highest purpose of life. Sri Prabhupada explains, none of us know for sure that we have 7 minutes to live. So it is important. In order to really access and experience Krishna in Krishna's name, in Krishna Katha, we must take shelter. As we approach Krishna, Krishna reciprocates accordingly. If we hear about Krishna kind of in a sleeping way, and Krishna would minimally reveal himself to you. But if we're very, very serious, we take it as a topmost priority of urgency to hear this message, to take shelter of Krishna as he is coming in Krishna Katha, then Krishna will very quickly purify our hearts and reveal ourselves, reveal himself to us. Pariksit Maharaj asked these questions, Sukadeva Goswami was very happy. He said, these questions are not only the highest subject matter, but they are for the ultimate benefit for all humanity. And he congratulated Pariksit Maharaj. Thanked him. Then he spoke 9 cantos. Just to prepare ultimate crescendo of all literatures, the 10th canto. And here, at the beginning, we find Rinchen Maharaj is specifically asking about Krishna's descent. Please, the original form of God. Previously, in the first canto of Bhagavatam, it is described all these different major incarnations of the Lord who appear within the world throughout history. Krishna's two opinions. Krishna is the original source. Personality of Godhead, from whom all other avatars are emanating, who possesses all six opulences of strength, beauty, knowledge, fame, wealth, and renunciation to its ultimate fullest degree. In other incarnations and avatars, although they are absolutely one and the same as Krishna, Krishna is only manifesting partial opulences. But when he comes in his original form, he reveals all of these opulences in their full, unlimited degrees. Please explain to me about Krishna's appearance in this world and his wonderful activities. Parikshit Maharaj had experience that Arjuna, Yudhisthira, my grandfathers. On that great battlefield of Kurukshetra, although there were such powerful warriors like Bhishma and Drona, they were like little fish in an ocean full of whales and sharks. But because they took shelter of Krishna, they all, Krishna's grace, they overcame all obstacles. And my own mother, I was in her room when Ashwatthama sent that deadly Brahmastra weapon. Brahmastra weapon is a nuclear bomb and beyond. But it had such precision, it could hit its target and not harm anything else. So he sent this Brahmastra thousands of times more powerful and destructive than the atom bomb of Hiroshima and sent it right to the embryo in the womb of Uttara. And we were praying for her child. And as the Brahmastra came into the womb, Parikshit, he was in the womb, saw it. And then he saw beautiful form of Krishna appear and annihilate all the dangers of the Brahmastra. Please tell me about Krishna. I'm yearning to hear about Krishna. From your description so far, even though I have been for so many days not eating any food or drinking any water, getting any sleep, neither am I tired. And the nectar flowing from your mouth, like the ambrosial Ganga, is completely satisfying my heart. And I'm feeling no obstacle due to hunger or thirst. Krishna. Shukadeva Goswami explained how enthusiasm to speak. And again, Sukadeva Goswami congratulated Parikshit and thanked him and explained that the nature of this Hari Katha is that the person who speaks, the person who inquires, and all the people who happen to be around listening, everybody becomes purified. Everybody experiences Krishna. And then with great happiness, after invoking the blessings of his gurus, Shukadeva Goswami began. Once Mother Earth, she was in such desperation because there was so much demoniac activities going on all around her. We understand that Mother Earth is Bhumi. She's an expansion of the goddess of fortune, Krishna's internal potency that manifests within this material world. Bhumi is the consort of Varaha Dev, an avatar of Lord Krishna. Bhumi Devi was in such a state because Kamsa and Salva and Jarasandha and Aga and all these very, very powerful mystic asuras were exploiting and plundering all of her resources for their own envious purposes and cruelly mistreating the common people. She came in the form of a cow before Lord. Thank you. shared with the other demigods the message of the Lord. He said, even before you came, I already knew everything that was happening. And I've already decided to descend into the world. Now all of you demigods, along with your wives, the goddesses, take your birth in the Yadu, the Andaka, the Vishnu, the Bolja dynasties. And I will personally appear as the son of Devaki and Vasudeva in the Yadu dynasty. You go and prepare for my coming. After revealing this message, Brahma went back to his abode. Sometime later, Shukadev Goswami explains, Vasudev, the son of Surasena. Surasena was the king of Mathura. He actually established Mathura as the capital of the Yadu dynasty. Vasudev married Devaki, the daughter of Devaki. Beautiful marriage. Everyone in Mathura area was so happy. And then, when it was time, after the marriage was complete, for Vasudeva to take Devaki back to his home, he boarded his chariot. It was surrounded by about 100 other chariots. King Devaka, out of love for his daughter, he gave hundreds of elephants, thousands of horses, hundreds of chariots, hundreds of young ladies who were Devaki's dearest friends, all to go with her, so she wouldn't miss home. People were singing songs, playing instruments, showering flowers, dancing. Brahmins were chanting mantras and hymns. It was a jubilant time. Marriages were wonderful festivities. And Kamsa, the son of Ugrasena, the cousin brother of Devaki, was so taken by the whole experience. He wanted to make his sister so happy. So even though he was the prince, he got on the chariot and took the reins. And just to make his sister happy, he agreed to take her home. What an honor this was. At least that's what everyone thought. As Kamsa was moving the chariot forward, his heart swelling with affection for his sister, an invisible voice came from the sky.
Kamsa, you are a fool. The eighth child of Devaki will be the cause of your death.
Kamsa let go of the reins of the horses. With his left hand, he grabbed the hair of Devaki and pulled her. With his right hand, he drew his mighty sword, was about to sever her head. What a complete change from overwhelming affection to total envy and hatred and fear. This is an example of how material attachment can affect a person's heart. For there to be real love, unconditional love, it's important that there be true detachment from egoism and selfishness. Vairagya vidya nitya bhakti yoga. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya made his beautiful prayer explaining that Lord Chaitanya came to teach pure love for Krishna by teaching knowledge, detachment, and bhakti, the process of devotional service. What goes in the form of love in this world is so often kind or selfish passion. But when that selfish passion somehow or other turns into something that we perceive against the interest of our attachments, it can easily turn into wrath. Kamsa is about to, in the most ghastly way, murder his own sister. Vasudev, with folded hands, tried to come between them and speak nice philosophy. There are so many pages in Srimad Bhagavatam like this philosophy. He was explaining to him the basic principles of spirituality. We're not this body. We are the eternal souls. We should not behave in such a way in this world that compromises the progress of the soul. After all, we may get some temporary safety or pleasure if we engage in sinful activities, but ultimately that sinful activities in the form of bad karma are going to come back and cause the greatest harm to us. We should do what's of the interest of the soul. That is karma. Just like a little worm goes from leaf to leaf on a tree. So similarly, the soul goes from body to body to body to body. We shouldn't be so attached to the body and the things of the body. We should use the body for the purpose of the soul. He explains so many social, philosophical, logical reasons why this is a terrible thing to do. But Kamsa was being consumed by the flames of his envy, his fear, and his attachments. He was not moved by any of it. So Vasudeva began to think. Somehow or other, I have to stop this. So he said to Kamsa, "You have no fear of your sister. It's the eighth child of your sister. I vow to you on this day that every child born of Devaki I will bring to you. And you can do anything you like with." Vasudev had such a character that Kamsa totally believed him. Vasudev, under no circumstance, would ever succumb to not living by truth. If he gives his word, that is fine. So Kamsa let him go. Vasudeva and Devaki. They went on their way. But Vasudeva didn't trust Kamsa. Because the Srimad Bhagavatam says it's very difficult to control someone who cannot control the mind or senses. And then Narada Muni appeared on the scene. So Prabhupada often quotes his verse, Aishanyara Kriya Mudra Vikina Bhujana. It's very difficult to understand the mind of a great Vaishnava. Narada Muni especially fits in this description at this time. Kamsa saw Narada Muni. Blessing of saints, you get power. So he offered Narada Muni a nice seat. He worshipped Narada Muni. He said, "How can I serve you?" And Narada Muni, he said, "I just want to inform you something, Kamsa. Just recently, I was traveling around the universe, and I came to the Sumeru Parvat. And there I heard Brahma
enter the meeting of the devas. Now please remember, Council, the devas are your enemies. And they were making plans to kill you and all of your asuras. In fact, the devas, who are your enemies, were all going to take birth in the Yadu, Amdaka, Bhoja, and Vishnu dynasties. And Vishnu was going to descend as the child of Devaki. Let me tell you one more thing. In your previous birth, your name was Kalanemi. Vishnu killed you. And now he's coming again to kill you. So I just wanted to tell you this. That, you know, any child that's born here could be a demigod or Vishnu. And now I'll be on my way. Whenever he left, Kamsa talked to some of his ministers and decided to imprison Vasudev and David. He put his brother and sister in shackles in a prison house. Actually, what happened? I have to go back a little. The first child was born, that's right, when they were free. And Vasudev came with the first child, Kirtiman, and presented it to Kamsa. And Kamsa, he couldn't believe he's bringing his child to me. You're so honest, take him back. I'm only worried about the eighth child. That's when I really need him. So Kamsa completely changed, and he took that little child and killed it, and put Vasudeva and Devaki into the prison. 6 children were born right in front of her eyes. Devas, he saw Kamsa slaughter them. And then became the very deepest, best friend of Yashoda Mahi, the wife of Nanda Maharaj. She was pregnant when she left for Gokula.
during her seventh month of pregnancy at midnight, she had a dream. In the dream, she had a miscarriage. She woke up and she realized that it was true. She felt extremely sorrowful. Then Yogamaya spoke to her, said, "This is all the will of our Lord. Actually, I'm transferring Shankarshan from the womb of Devaki into your womb." Rohini is the eternal mother of Balaram. And then the transfer was made. Meanwhile, in Mathura, everyone thought that Devaki had a miscarriage. And soon after, Krishna entered into the mind or the heart of Vasudeva. Vasudeva became transcendental, effulgent in the presence of God. It filled him with bliss. Krishna was actually personally in his heart. And then Krishna transferred. The example is given just like when the sun is setting, it transfers its light to the moon. Krishna was transferred from the heart of Vasudeva to the mind and the heart of Devaki. Devaki became so filled with endless joy. She was so effulgent with spiritual energy. Nobody could appreciate it because she was in a dark prison cell. When Kamsa saw the effulgence and the blissfulness of Devaki, he realized that Vishnu, the child who is going to kill me, has now come. He kept Vasudeva and Devaki in such tight security. His only meditation was waiting for that child to be born so he would immediately kill it. Kamsa was overwhelmed with fear. He couldn't stop thinking of Krishna. Whether he was sitting on his throne, laying in his bed, walking, eating, his mind was plagued with fear. He was Krishna conscious, constantly thinking of Krishna. But Rupa Goswami tells us we should think of Krishna in a favorable way, that is devotional service. So in this way, Kamsa could not sleep. He had no peace of mind. He was just waiting and waiting. And then that most auspicious moment came. Janmashtami. Before I describe Krishna's appearance, let me explain a little of why Narada Muni acted like he did. He wanted to activate Krishna's coming, and he also knew a secret nobody else knew. There's a great sage named Manichi, and he had six sons. And his six sons, they committed a serious Vaishnava aparad. They criticized Brahma, because Brahma was acting strange by their perception, and by many others too, actually. And because of this, they had to come to the world to be born of demons. They were born as the six children of Kalanemi and the grandchildren of came and asked, what benedictions do you want? And they asked for the common benedictions that Asuras ask for. That nobody can defeat me. Nobody can kill me. That I will live and I will enjoy and I will conquer and I will be like a god. So Brahma gave him all the benedictions. But Hiranyakashipu was angry as fire on them. How dare you go to Brahma without my permission? He was such a controller of mentality. He said, I curse you that your father today, Kalanagari, in the next birth, your father will kill you. Kalanagari became Kamsa. And the Saptargas, these six children, they represent the six anartas within our heart that distract us away from our eternal natural condition of loving devotion to Krishna. Lust, anger, envy, arrogance, greed, and illusion. These are the six enemies within. The Srimad Bhagavatam explains that the only real enemies we have are these six enemies within our own minds. If we can conquer those, we'll liberate. So these six children represents these six internal enemies within us. Devaki represents pure bhakti. And Kamsa represents fear of material existence. When a devotee, like Devaki, takes shelter of the Lord, understanding the dangers of material existence, that taking of shelter under those, with that sense of urgency, Om Pavitra Pavitra Ra, Krishna cleanses, removes the lust, anger, envy, arrogance, greed, and illusion. And then Baladev, the spiritual master, creates an environment in the heart by which we can directly personally experience Krishna. Narada Muni understood that these Satgarbhas, they wanted to go back to their fathers. He was doing exactly what their internal souls wanted. He was liberating them, showing the highest compassion to them and accelerating Krishna's descent to entrap the hearts of the conditioned souls. It was on this day that John lost at midnight. Everything became auspicious. All the trees were blossoming with fruits and flowers of every variety. The breezes all over the universe were fragrant with the aromas. The temperature was just so nice everywhere. The rivers, the oceans were transparent, clean, blooming with flowers. The stars in the sky, they seemed to be like they were dancing, glittering, illuminating the heavens. And all the Brahmins and the devotees who were being severely persecuted by Kamsa felt such peace and such optimism in their hearts. came with four arms, holding the conch shell, the lotus flower, the club, and the Sudarshan disc. He had a wonderful complexion, like a dark monsoon cloud. His every limb was the essence of beauty. His eyes were like lotus flowers. His beautiful blackish hair was curled around his face. He wore the Vaidurya, the special jewel, the jewel of the shoe. He had long garlands and beautiful golden, silver, and jewel ornamented ornaments around his body. He wore a cloth around his waist that was golden, like flashing lightning, and he illuminated the dark prison. Also, David, he understood that the supreme absolute truth, the personality of Godhead, the cause of all causes, the source of everything, had appeared as their son. And Vasudeva offered beautiful prayers of gratitude and devotion. And in Devaki's prayers, although she understood his supreme position, she felt herself to be his mother, and she had the worry and concern of a mother. That now you're appearing in this form, Kamsa will know for sure that you are the shoe, and he may harm you. So please, make this form invisible. Appear like an ordinary child so you can hide yourself. His life, you were Krishna and Sutapa. And you performed very, very long years of austerities. You went into the jungles and you were subjected to bitter cold, to burning heat, to winds, to rain. And you were fixed on your meditation and your sanctity. You were only eating the dry leaves that fell from trees. And when you were offered benediction, you wanted me to be your child. So I fulfilled that ambition. And in that very birth, I became your son, Krishna Garba. And then, in your next births, you became Aditi and Kashyapa. And I became your son, Upendra, because I was a dwarf. They called me Vamanadev. And now I am appearing again as your son. I will take the form of a little child. And on this very night, Vasudeva, you shall hear me across the Yamuna to Gokul and exchange me for the child born of Yashoda. And then right before her eyes, the beautiful, majestic form of Vishnu manifested the beautiful little baby form of Gopal. What a sacrifice of Vasudeva. Just to facilitate Krishna's coming to this world, they endured years of living in a prison. Just to facilitate the eighth child appearing, they endured seeing six of their children killed mercilessly. And now the child had come. And within minutes, he was going to be taken somewhere else. Some severe honey tosha. The their devotion, their love is so pure. They only want to please Krishna. So Vasudev, suddenly by the power of Yoga Maya, his shackles became unlocked. And the doors, all the doors of the prison house opened. All the guards and every single person in Mathura fell asleep. So Vasudev picked up little baby Gopal. That's why he was watching. He went out of the prison. From one guard station after another, there was no impediment. And when he finally came to the outdoors, it was a cloudy midnight, and it was raining. But Ananta Shesha appeared over the head of Vasudev to serve as an umbrella. And then he came to the river Yamuna, and because of the storm that night, the river Yamuna was swirling and rippling with a very fast current. But Yamuna Devi became very calm and offered a passageway for Vasudev to cross over. He came to the maternity home of Yashoda. Yashoda Mai gave birth to Yoga Maya, and she fell asleep. And she really, by Yoga Maya's own potency, she didn't really remember what she did. And while she slept, Vasudev placed Krishna at her bedside and took Yoga Maya, the daughter, away. Now, when it's particular passage of Srimad Bhagavatam, Srimad Prabhupada reveals to us the words of the holy scriptures, Jiva Goswami's Gopal Champu, Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur's discoveries of the great literatures. But actually, Krishna simultaneously took birth as the son of Nanda and Yashoda and the son of Devaki and Vasudev. And the son of Vasudev and Devaki, Krishna merged into the form of Nanda and Yashoda's Krishna. And then he made the exchange. He crossed over the Yamuna again, came into the prison cell. All of a sudden, everything locked. He put his chains back on. The little baby girl, Yoga Maya, cried. She cried really loud. Because all the guards woke up, they immediately told Kamsa, "The child is born." Kamsa did not waste any moment. Kamsa took his weapons and ran to the place. He was there within seconds. David was holding his little beautiful daughter. Pleading with Kamsa, "Please, let me have this one child. You have nothing to fear from a daughter, it's a girl. You've already killed six of my children. Just offer, I'm your sister. Offer me this one gift. Let me have this daughter to love and to care for as a mother." She was weeping, crying, pleading. Kamsa was so hard-hearted and cruel that he forcibly grabbed the little baby out of the hands of the mother, took her by the feet, lifted her up, about to dash her to death on a rock. But as he lifted her up before crashing her down, the little baby slipped out of his hands and went into the sky and manifested the form of Durga. riding on a lion, she had eight arms holding various weapons. And she looked down at Kamsa, very angry, and said, Kamsa, you are a cruel fool. The child that was meant to kill you, the child that will kill you, is already born and is somewhere else. Now stop killing people and show mercy to your brother and sister. And she disappeared. That was quite sobering for Kamsa. He realized what he'd been doing for the first time. And he actually fell at the feet of Vasudeva Devaki and begged forgiveness. But it wasn't an unconditional forgiveness. It was one of those philosophical forgivenesses. He said, I have acted very enviously, I have acted cruelly, I have acted selfishly, I have acted so egoistically, I've killed your own children. Please forgive me. But also please understand that everything's happening because of karma. And actions and reactions, and somehow or other, you know, this is what you were meant to go through. I was the instrument. And Vasudeva Devaki, even after all they had been through, practically 10 years of prison and slaughter of their children and being abused and harassed in so many ways, from their heart of hearts, they totally forgave Kamsa and spoke sweet words to him. They said, yes, what you're saying is true. We forgive you. And then he let them go. Kamsa went home, and the next morning, he called his ministers and told them everything that happened. And his ministers, they were afraid. Because their power was very much dependent on Kamsa. They told Kamsa, why are you afraid of all this? We know who you are. We know your powers. You have nothing to fear. The reality is that Vishnu is our enemy, and he is born somewhere. Therefore, we should kill every single child, male and female, that has been born in your kingdom for the last 10 days. And because religion is a weapon of Vishnu, and because the Brahmins and sacrifices and yajnas connect the person to Vishnu, we must persecute everything that's good. Anyone who engages in piety, anyone who engages in any type of religious activities, and all of cows, they must be killed, tortured, persecuted. Kamsa said, yes, that is my order. Understand immediately that the only possibility is Yashodamai has had a child. So many years, Lama Yashoda had no children. It's their only child. And then when she spoke, they gave her thousands of cows in charity just for giving the good news. And Nanda Maharaj from Yashoda Maya had the child, but he kept getting stunned and they couldn't really walk, and then he'd walk a few more steps and become stunned and stunned. The anticipation, the ecstasy was flooding his heart. And finally, when he came to the place of Krishna's appearance, Yashoda Maya gave little baby Krishna to Ravini to bring for Nanda Maharaj to hold in his arms. And the news spread all over Gokul. The Brijavasis, they all came for the festival of the birth of Krishna, called Nandotsava, the festival of Nanda. Everyone dressed in their best possible clothes to celebrate Krishna's appearance. The men were wearing special turbans and special multicolored cloths, whatever jewels they had, and the ladies were wearing their most beautiful garments, wonderful jewels. Even Rohini, because her husband was away, usually the tradition is you don't dress so nicely, but she dressed so nicely. Because certain situations are transcendental to tradition. It's the ultimate tradition to celebrate Krishna. And they also want to go to Krishna. He could totally enchanted everyone's heart. Immediately, he became more dear to them than their own children or their own lives. They just wanted him to be happy. They didn't know he was God. They just thought he was the most beautiful, wonderful child who they loved more than anything. They were all great devotees of God, but they loved Krishna more than they loved God, their conception of God. They simply fell in love with this child. And they were blessing Krishna to have a long life. The Brahmins were chanting mantras, and they offered Krishna a little abhishek. They put tumor gum. They put ghee. They bathed him. Panchagavya, the Panchamrita. As they were having kirtans, some of them playing musical instruments, horn instruments, stringed instruments, wind instruments. They were all dancing and dancing and dancing. And when you love Krishna, the natural expression of that love for Krishna is we love each other. They were very lovingly, gracefully throwing and smearing upon each other ghee and butter and condensed milk and different types of fresh herb powders as they were dancing, singing, and crying in ecstasy. Krishna had appeared as the son of Nanda and Yashoda. Meanwhile, Nanda Maharaj, he was so overcome with ecstasy and in bhakti we express our ecstasy through seva. He wanted to show his gratitude in so many ways. He was giving millions of cows to Brahmins. And each cow had silk garments embroidered. And he put gold and jewels on the hooves and silver on the horns of the horse. hands and the cows. And then seven gigantic mountains of grains. And he put silks and jewels decorating the grains. It was a festival of giving, not a festival of taking. On a spiritual level, we show our joy, we show our gratitude by giving. For Krishna's pleasure, we give to Krishna's devotees. They danced, they sang, and they all looked at beautiful Krishna and prayed for Krishna and blessed Krishna for the whole day. Because on that most joyous, auspicious day of the celebration of Krishna's appearance in 1896, and our beloved Guru Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada, appeared in the world. Nandosa, in Calcutta. Soon after, should I continue?
Hari Bol.
Soon after, Nanda Maharaj, he understood that it was time to pay taxes to Kamsa. And he also very much wanted to see his beloved friend Vasudeva, who was in Mathura. So, leading Vrindavasa to take care of Vrindavan and Gokul, and he left. And when he met Vasudeva, such a loving exchange. You see, the nature of people who love Krishna is they love each other. We can understand whatever deficiency we have in love for Krishna, but by our inability to love each other. Nandana and Vasudeva, because of their love for Krishna, they had such deep spiritual love for each other. They were so concerned. Nandana Maharaj was so sad when Vasudeva had gone through. And Vasudeva knew everything about Krishna. He told Nanda Maharaj, you should go back really soon because we don't know what may happen. There may be danger. Nanda Maharaj didn't know why Vasudeva was saying that. He left. Meanwhile, in Vrindavan, Gokul, the first of the asuras that Kamsa sent appeared. Her name was Putana. She was, pronounced a Kachani witch. She had mystic powers. She could change her form to any size and any shape she wanted. And her special passion was to eat the flesh of newborn babies and drink their blood. She was a Rakshasi. And she had already been traveling all around the area. Thousands of children she was murdering. Then she came to the house of Nanda Yashoda in Gokul. And she changed her form to become so beautiful, like a goddess of fortune. When she came into Nanda Maharaj's house, everyone was very much impressed and grateful. This must be some sort of goddess that has come to bless Krishna. So they let her pass right into the house. They let her pick up Krishna, sit down, put him in her lap. Then she went to give and everyone was watching, thinking she was going to bless Krishna. They didn't know that she had already smeared her breast with deadly poison. Krishna looked at her. He closed his eyes. When she put her breast in Krishna's mouth, Krishna sobbed. At first, he sucked milk. Because somehow or other, she had some maternal affection for Krishna that moment. And then he sucked out all the poison. And after sucking out all the poison, he kept sucking and sucking and sucking until he was sucking her very life. This was extremely painful for Putana. She was trying to somehow push Krishna off her, but she couldn't. So she ran outside into the pasture ground. And she manifested an enormous form. She was screaming out, "Child, leave me, leave me, leave me." And here she was, a massive form, and Krishna was just a little tiny thing on her, a little person on her, and she was, with all of her strength, her mighty arms, trying to take him off. And he was squeezing with his little tiny fingers. He was going, and it was causing her such unbearable pain. And with his little tiny feet, he was kicking her. And he kept sucking until he sucked her life out. And she fell to the ground. And she broke hundreds and hundreds of trees as she fell to the ground. Now, by Krishna's inconsiderable potency, Putana ran into one of the favorite gardens of Kamsa, and that's what she destroyed when she fell down. And meanwhile, Yashoda Maya and all the gopas and gopis, they were frantic. Krishna was taken away. And they ran, and they climbed up Putana's body, and they saw the gopas, a helpless old baby crawling around and smiling. And they picked him up and brought him to Yashoda Mai, and she embraced him and had the Brahmins do all kinds of pujas to protect him. Putana represents the pseudo guru who appears in a way that they're going to nourish us with transcendental knowledge. But because of misconception, envy or speculation, that knowledge has that poison in it that can kill our propensity for love of Krishna. But when we take shelter of Krishna, he frees us from this obstacle path of pure love and devotion to Sri Vrindavana. Meanwhile, Nanda Maharaj is returning home, and on the way he sees Putana. She was miles long. What is this? And the devotees told Nanda Maharaj, and Nanda Maharaj was thinking, Vasudev knew. He understood. He warned me. So they chopped her body up, and they burned it. Body, when it was burning, it smelled like nectar. It had the aroma like camphor and sandalwood and aroma. Because when Krishna touched her, he completely purified her. And not only did he completely purify her, but because she approached Krishna like a mother, even though she had evil propensities, when Krishna sucked out the poison, he sucked out all her evil propensities. And all that was left in Putana at the moment of death was her offering motherly love to Krishna. Putana immediately attained the liberation of being a mother of Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan, in this spiritual world. An assistant nurse for Krishna, where she would enjoy Krishna's loving, all attractive pastimes for the rest of eternity. Many years later, Uddhava, in separation from Krishna, he was remembering this pastime. Who else can I worship? Who else is so merciful, so compassionate, than this Rakshashi sister of Agha and Baka, who came to kill Krishna in the most merciless, cruel way? Krishna accepted her and gave her the ultimate perfection of being his eternal mother in this spiritual world. Krishna and Balaram were only about 15 days apart. Together taking care of their little babies. And sometimes they'd be holding their little babies and they'd look at their faces, hearts melting in ecstatic love. And they'd see little teeth growing, they'd cuddle those little teeth, they'd discuss with each other. This was all they talked about when they burned off. Said to Nanda and Yashoda, "What we saw, Gopal cried for his mother, his mother didn't come, and he kicked, and the whole cart fell down." They were thinking, "How is this possible? Children say anything." conceive Krishna as anything but their beautiful little baby. Sapatasura represents an obstacle to pure devotional service in Vrindavan. The obstacle of the tendency to keep the burden within our heart of our previous bad habits. The bad habits both earlier in this life as well as previous lives. Things that we should be letting go of for the purpose of focusing our full attention and attachment to Krishna. We cling to. Past habits are not easy to break. According to this body of our today, by absorbing ourselves in Krishna's seva, Krishna tells in Gita, by constant practice and detachment, we can overcome the burden of all these bad habits in our mind. Krishna is not different than his name. When we really take shelter of Krishna and cry out his name, then Krishna, he will kick to pieces and liberate us from the big cartload and burden of bad habits that we leave stored in our minds. When Krishna was about a year old, Yashoda Maya was carrying Krishna, and suddenly he felt heavy like a mountain. So she put him down to go around, to carry on with her, say, two others. And at that time, another one of the associates of Kamsa, Trinavarta, came in the form of a living. But this was not just an ordinary woman. He was a mystic, powerful Asura Nakshasha. Greater than a hurricane, a tornado, a cyclone, he came into Vrindavan. And he was making everything start fly apart. One couldn't even see their hand in front of their face. There was so much dust. And Gopal was all alone. Trinavarta picked up Gopal and went higher and higher and higher to the sky with the intention of killing him. And Gopal was so happy. He was getting a ride. You know, sometimes little children, when they're just 1 year old, you throw them up in the air and they have this. I've never done it because I'm afraid I'm going to drop them or something. Parents are quite fearless. I've seen them take their little babies and droop into things and they catch them. But when I see that, I think, such faith. But when you're thrown up in the sky like that, when you're a little baby and you're totally helpless, you have to have complete faith that your father or mother's going to catch you. Otherwise, it's such a natural skill. Otherwise, if you don't have total faith that your mother's going to catch you, you're going to really be hurt. You don't see little babies when they're thrown in the air, they say, they'll catch me. Smiling and laughing. It's that simple faith of a baby for a mother. That's the type of faith we should have in Krishna in every situation. And that's the type of faith we should chant as beings. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare. Hare Rama. Hare Rama. Rama Rama. Hare
Hare. So the babies ought to be thrown in the sky. So Trinavarta was taking Krishna so high in the sky. Krishna was so happy. It was like he was getting a ride, like a roller coaster. He was going higher and higher. He went up to the heavenly planets. King Arjuna with his intentions to kill Krishna. Krishna understood this. So somehow or other, it's interesting, isn't it? Do you know why Krishna became so heavy to Yashoda? Acharyas explain, he knew Trinavarjuna's God. And he didn't want Yashoda Mai to get involved in this thing, because she may get hurt. So he became heavy so that Yashoda Mai would put him down, and he knew she had to go and take care of all the guests, so that he would be all alone with Trinavarjuna. So he became heavy with his mother, and he became light of his length as a feather from Trinavarjuna to take him higher, 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 higher. And then he became heavy like a mountain. And when that goes to the depths of the soul, the Atma, it's the passion of Vaishnava. Yashoda Mai, Vibralamba, when Krishna was separated, she was wild with helpless agony. And when Krishna was back with her son Bhoga, her heart was suffering up, she knew Krishna's safe. Trinavarta represents the obstacle of pure bhakti in Vrindavan, the obstacle of false pride due to having mundane scholarship. The problem is not the scholarship. Is the tendency of being proud. You see, Trinavarta was thinking he was higher, 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 higher than everybody. consciousness. The knowledge of Srila Prabhupada's books are knowledge of the scripture. If it's not making us humble, if it's making us proud, if it's making us think that I'm better than others, if it's making us think I'm very high, others are low, then we actually miss the whole point of what it's for. True knowledge makes us humble, respectful. Lord Chaitanya said like this. When the Digvijaya Pandit was coming to Navadvipa, he was the greatest scholar on the entire planet Earth. He was undefeated in debate. Goddess Saraswati empowered him in such a way that every time he spoke, she incarnated on his tongue. Can you imagine such infallible knowledge he had? At least he thought. And he became so proud. He was going around defeating everybody, making them bow down to him and write their name on his certificate. He came into Navadvipa with on a palanquin, Brahmins chanting his glories. And Nimai's little students on the back of the Ganga told him about that. Nimai, he became very grave. He said, a person who actually has understood knowledge, they are like a tree with very, very full, ripe fruits. Because of the weight of the fruits, those trees bow down to everyone. But a tree without such fruits stands very erect, thinking I'm higher than everyone, and bows to no one. A person who actually has knowledge becomes humble and respectful. Amani na manadeva, to offer all respect to others and not expect it from oneself. That is knowledge. And Lord Nimai said to his friends that Krishna does not tolerate false pride for very long. Soon he will crush it. Demon of trinality within our hearts. One day, Vasudeva sent Gargamuni, his priest, to come to perform the name-giving ceremony. Brahmins, you are so kind. In the name of going house to house to beg, you're actually coming to hear fallen householders like us in association. To the Brahmins. Nanda Maharaj is the king of the Vrijavasis. He's the father of Krishna. And still, such humility. Ceremony, the sanskara for the welfare of Krishna Bhakti. Gargamuni said, I am the priest of the Yadus. Vasudev sent me. If you perform the sanskara in a public way, then Kamsa is going to hear about it and he's going to very, very much attack. So Nanda Maharaj said, but I want our children to be blessed by you. Let's do it secretly in the cowshed. So they went. And Gargamuni, he said, because this child has united the two dynasties of the Vrijavasis and the Yadavas, the Krishnas, his name will be Shankarsha. And because in every yuga to establish the transcendental process of liberation for that age. He's come in a white color, a red color, a golden color, and now he has come in a beautiful blackish form. Shyam Sundar. And this child, he comes again and again to give relief to his devotees and establish the highest principles of religion. This child will be the greatest source of happiness, life, and love to all the inhabitants of Vrindavan. But please, take very good care of him and watch for him. This child of yours is as good as Lord Narayan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And with these words of great ecstasy, Garbhamuni revealed Krishna's true identity. Soon after this, Krishna Balaram began to call. How beautiful is the call? Balaram, whose complexion is white like a spring cloud, and Krishna, whose complexion is dark like a monsoon cloud, were crawling, 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 and as they crawled, they loved to get in trouble. There are many stories. Krishna Balaram, each of them respectively grabbed and pulled the tail of a calf. They got scared, they got up and started to run, and the children were so scared that they held on very tightly, and the calf was running around, and little Krishna Balaram, their soft bodies were being dragged through the mud and the urine and the cow dung of Vrindavan. All the gopis were watching and laughing and laughing and clapping their hands. Sometimes Krishna Balaram would be crawling and they wanted their mothers and they recognized their mothers because their mothers wore ankle bells. So they heard ankle bells. And he said, crawling, 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 dear to their mothers, crawling, crawling, crawling. And finally they got to the source of the sound of the ankle bells and they looked up and it was other gopis. So they started, they got afraid and they were crying and running away, and then Mother Yashoda and Mother Rohini picked them up. I see. I gave them all happiness. After some time, they could not walk. And as soon as they started walking, their pastimes of stealing butter. This gave so much happiness to all the residents of Vrindavan. Sometimes the gopis would come to complain to Yashoda Bai that your son, you know how naughty he is, Krishna Balaram, with their friends, they go out early in the morning just to look for places. Before we even get up in the morning, they untie the calves, and the calves come to drink the milk of the mothers. And at the same time, when we go out to try to deal with it, they run into our houses, and they break our butter pots, and they eat it. Krishna has a special So the Shoda said, then I'll stop putting jewels on it. They said, no, don't do that, because it's like they have an effulgence. Anyway, they light up everything. And sometimes we hide the butter so well that they can't find it. And they go into our temple and pass urine on the floor. And sometimes they will come to our sleeping babies and put water in their ears and cry if they can't find our butter. This is what your children are doing all the time. And when we catch them, when our husband catch them and say, you are a thief, go Paul and look at him and put his fists on his waist and said, no, you are a thief. And other times we catch them, they say, no, we're not stealing your butter, we're not stealing. So we show them why we don't know how he's going to get healthy, he's always doing these things. And now he's just sitting there, he's looking so completely peaceful and innocent, but we know deep down in his mind, he's thinking of how to get out of butter. Well, we show that it's my time to say, oh, then I will somehow keep him at home. No, keep him at home. The reality is, gopis would make their butter for one purpose. They would put such intense love and devotion into making their butter with the hope that it would be so nice that Krishna would come to steal it. Sometimes people say, why did Krishna steal? Srila Prabhupada explained to us, Sarvalokaneshwara, Krishna is the proprietor of everything that exists. He's not stealing. Everything's already his. He's just coming to accept the love of his devotees. And when our heart becomes soft like butter, then Krishna will steal our hearts. That is the meaning of Hari. And he steals the hearts. Ananda Vrindavan Chandra tells some beautiful stories of Krishna's butter stealing. Once, the wife of one of Ananda Maharaj's brothers, Krishna's aunt, caught Krishna stealing butter in her house, Makan Chola. And she actually held him with her hand. Said, you're always saying that you don't steal butter. Now I've caught you red-handed and I'm going to bring you to Yashoda, your mother. And little Gopal, tiny child, he looked up at her and smiled. And then he became very serious. He said, I warn you, don't do that. Right before Yashoda, she was holding Krishna's hand. She said, Yashoda, you see, I caught him. There's butter on his face. He's always denying it. He has stolen butter. Yashoda and I looked at her and said, what are you talking about? I said, your son, I have him right here. Look, there's butter on him. I caught him. Yashoda and I said, I don't understand. And she looked down at this gopi, and she saw it was in her hand. It wasn't Krishna. It was her own son. She was very bewildered, confused. What is this? And he showed her and said, I think you should go home. So she was walking home, and she's going down the road in Gokul. And all of a sudden, you know, she's looking and she's seeing her own child. In her perplexed state, little Gopal, she heard Gopal's voice. And she looked down and there was Gopal.
He got close to all of them. And he said, I warned you. And if you do it again, next time, I will take the form of your husband. One time, Krishna was in, he was next to this wonderful jewel pillar in the house of Ganga. And there was some butter there. He was eating it. He saw his reflection. And he said to the reflection of himself, he said, don't tell Yashoda what I'm doing. Don't tell my mother that you saw me doing this. If you tell, then I'm going to get you in trouble. I'm going to say it's you who did it. And meanwhile, Mother Yashoda was watching all this as Krishna was chastising his reflection. And then Yashoda and I came, and she saw Krishna covered with butter on his hands and butter on his feet and butter on his face. And Krishna said, Mother, I didn't steal it. He stole it. And he pointed to his reflection. He stole it. I told him that this is immoral, this is improper, you should not steal butter. But he did it anyway, and he threw it on me.
She looked in his mouth and saw it within his belly. How is this possible?
Achintashakti.
Krishna is inconceivable by this. Nothing is inside of him, nothing is outside of him. Everything is. He's inside and outside of everything.
Shukadeva Goswami, how is it possible?
possible that Nanda and Yashoda could have such an intimate, loving relationship with Krishna in this way, that he's totally conquered by their love? And he explains how in their previous lifetimes they were Drona and Dara, and they performed great tapasya, or austerities. And when Brahma gave them any benediction, he said, let us be in this birth to be the mother and father of Krishna, so that Krishna will perform such beautiful, ecstatic, loving pastimes that he will enchant the hearts of all the world. One day, Saw your eyes with me. began to feed in her mouth. This is an exchange of the intimacy, the ecstasy, the love of the pure soul for the absolute, supreme soul. Suddenly, in the middle of this intense loving exchange, the milk on the stove, which was that Ashwagandha, it was the milk from those cow, from that one cow that you showed him I would milk. It was flowing over due to a fire underneath. So you showed him I, knowing that that milk was from Krishna, it was very, very special, the rarest of all milk. She put Krishna down to run to take this cow off the stove. But while she was away, you should not make anything a priority over giving me your milk. So he took his stone, which was used for grinding spices, and broke the butter pot, spread it immediately, looking all directions. Then he went into another room. Krishna, to show the intimacy between him and his devotee, Vishwamitra, he began to tremble. In the Dhammadharastra we pray, we sing every day during the month of Kartik, Satyamat Muni explains this beautiful scene. Tears are coming from Krishna's eyes, tears of fear. And they're mixing with the kajal, with the black ointment around, and it's making black streaks that cover his body.
and his lips are trembling, and his limbs are shaking, and he's saying to Yashoda Mai, please, put down the stick, I promise I won't do it again. Yashoda Mai throws the stick away. She said, you are a Krishna. You're just like a monkey. The way you jump around and get in so much trouble. And she took a rope, a beautiful little silk rope that's used to tie calves. And because she had so many duties to perform, she didn't want Krishna to get hurt. So she went to tie him to the ground. And she placed the rope around his waist. The rope was exactly 2 fingers too short. So she had more rope and tied his fingers around his waist. It was still 2 fingers too short. She tied more rope and more rope and more rope. And however, the rope was growing, and Krishna's waist remained exactly the same. Meters of ropes, and was it still exactly 2 fingers, the width of 2 fingers, too short? Finally, other gopis, they heard about this, and they all came, dozens of gopis, with all the ropes of their house, to Yashoda Mai's house. And they were just supplying Yashoda Mai one rope after another, the rope was becoming 7 meters long. And she put it around Gopal's waist, which was the same size and was still the width of 2 fingers too short. Soon Yashoda Mai, the flowers were coming off of her hair. She was just perspiring. Her sari was becoming loose. And some of the gopis said, don't you see, Yashoda Mai? It's not destiny for Krishna to be tied up to him. He might get hurt when I'm doing my chores. And besides that, I must see how many ropes it takes to bind my little Gopal. And ultimately, just to show the world that the all-powerful, supreme Lord of all of creation is bound by the love of his devotee. Krishna agreed to be tied up by Yashoda Mai. There he was, bound by the rope of the love of Yashoda. This is the power of bhakti. In the intimacy of love, Krishna is conquered by the love of the devotee. And the devotee is conquered by the love of Krishna. Queen Kunti, in her prayer, she was remembering this. How is it, my Lord, that although you are feared by fear personified, you are afraid of Mother Yashoda? She's not a Kshatriya. She's not a warrior. She's just a simple, loved one. It is this benediction that Srila Prabhupada has come to us. The Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu called the Premadana, the treasure of spiritual love, the Purushata Sivavana, the crest jewel of all goals of life. Thank you. treasure from chest to heart, stewards of love, is the association of the bodies, the opportunity to enthusiastically hear the pastimes and teachings of the Christian.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.